as for bomb-sniffing dogs. Most of the items were...
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government-printed currency is not. Call Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
That little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant. Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Silly old ram thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome and blessings to those with eyes and ears. My name is Jerry Kirk. This is the first 1 hour of a 26-week program being brought to you. And this is for individuals with eyes and ears. At this particular moment, I would like to take care of a responsibility and a duty. Our Father in heaven, I praise and bless you for the opportunity to share these offerings with those with eyes and ears. I praise your only begotten Son, the Christ, for providing the wherewithal for this opportunity. I am fully aware that any errors or omissions on my behalf shall be laid entirely upon my head, as I am very familiar with Jeremiah chapter 48, 10. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be sort of an introductory type of first program to get everybody a chance to get to know what this is about a little bit. In essence and in simplicity, this 1 hour is going to be and concerns with Revelations 18:4. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye not receive not of her plagues. Of course, this is impossible, in my opinion, if one is not in compliance with Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot nor one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Those that choose to ignore Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, I will suggest to you, will be weeping and gnashing their teeth. I have no desire to contest with individuals that want to deny what the Master, the Lamb of God, the only begotten Son of the Father, the Christ, says. They cannot contest with me. They are allowed to contest with them to their own sorrow and misery. And I feel sorry for those individuals. This 1 hour and all the succeeding ones for the next 26 weeks will occur only on Thursdays at 4 p.m. Central, unless for some reason there is a way to expand this. I will not be interested in doing anything except on a Thursday. I have great reason for that. And possibly I could do it on Friday mornings, but it'd be a little bit difficult with the various farm chores and things that I have to do in the morning. Okay, now, the format's going to be a little bit different according to what I hear on a lot of programs. The first half hour will be a presentation. The second half, and that's not really unusual. However, the second half hour will be individuals that you're out there listening, you may call in. When you call in, I prefer that you take and you use your first name, your last name, your county, and your state. If you're interested in providing some positive credibility to your comments or your question, you will do that. And I really am not interested in talking to somebody that's afraid to present their position and state who they are. It's about time we stop this 008, 007 secret agent stuff in this country and be a man and be a woman from now and in the future. I hope you'll think about that a little bit. Now, I also would like to thank the management and staff of First Amendment Radio. They've been very patient. They've been very assistant and helpful to me. There are numerous other individuals that I would love to be able to thank, both protagonists and antagonists, some that taught me a hard lesson that wasn't so pleasant, and some that have taught me lessons that were quite pleasant. But I can't remember all their names, and I can't thank them. Now, one of the differences, with the exception of this particular inaugural type of opening, is that every week you will be given an opportunity to go find and receive the materials that will be discussed the following week. I do not own a computer. However, a very nice gentleman in Austin, Texas, has provided a website called freedom-school.com. One more time, freedom-school.com. This gentleman does not charge for anybody to go to his website. Otherwise, I wouldn't be associated with that man. Along those lines, I sell nothing, I charge nothing, and you may not send me any monetary donations. You indeed may make donations by learning some information, sharing it with other individuals, emailing stuff, whatever you need to do, to various other websites, to various forums, to various telephone conference bridges, things of that nature, going up the road and knocking on your neighbor's door and saying, here, take a look at this. We are required in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, freely you have received, freely give. Those are the Master's words. Those are not my words. And I try very diligently to follow his words by action, not by just verbalization. I hope you will please consider that. Okay, now I'm going to move into some areas of what I'm just a little bit curious or something. I listen to folks on the radio and sometimes even on TV. And I wonder how old they are. Kind of tells me a little bit whether or not they've been around the block once or twice or three times. So, with respect to my age, I am 8 and 4. But if you're not really conversant in the Lord's time, then I might have to say I'm 8 weeks and 4. But then again, if you're not, again, conversant, I might have to say I am 8 weeks of years and 4 years for a total of 60 years of age. Now, that is a little demonstration about time, of how the Lord keeps time. That is probably the most important subject that we will be addressing over the next 26 weeks. However, we will not even begin to address that subject in its very initial and infancy type stage until week 5. When you go to freedom-school.com, you're going to see that the website right now today only has 3 pages up. 2 weeks ago, I had everything taken down at my request, and we are going to be plugging in chapters and parts of chapters. So today, you will have nothing there that you can see. However, tomorrow, you will be able to go to chapter 2, and that's entitled, How Do We Care and Heal Our Physical Living Body? And you will go there, and you will see part A, and it'll say what some call skin cancer. And then it's followed by a quotation, with the scab. You will then see a B under it, and it's blank. That's because we're not doing B today. We'll be filling stuff in as we go. Now, also tomorrow, you will be able to go, and you will see Chapter 1, Methods of Deception. And under A, you will see Part 1. That is what we're going to be jumping into next week. I will assure you that Parts 1, which is next week on the 14th, and Parts 2, which is on the 21st, are going to make an awful lot of people very nervous. And they're not going to like the documentation when we get to Part 2 on January 21st. I really don't care. Tough toenails to the people that have been deceived and the ones that are deceitful. So you're going to have 6 days to be able to study your material, to come up and be in agreement, or to be in disagreement. And that is what I think is fair for an open type of debate. I hope you will think that's fair. Again, nothing is at any charge. Now, the second thing I'd like to move into is the fact that an awful lot of individuals have told me over the years, now, Jerry, you catch more flies with honey. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's make it real clear. I am not a fly catcher. I have no desire to catch flies. If a fly bothers me, I go shoo fly. If that fly continues to bother me, I pick up a fly swatter and I go smush fly. I'm not a fly catcher, and I don't spread honey, and I'm not here to speak soothing, soothsaying words. It's not my job. And I feel that people that do things in that manner are quite reprehensible to me. This is very serious material. And unfortunately, I get a little too serious in my tone and everything. But I consider this a very, very responsible job, and I do not take it lightly. And I feel blessed and honored to be allowed to have this opportunity. Now, the next thing that I hear people say all the time is they talk about popularity. Well, there's only been one type of occasion in my life that I've ever been popular. It's happened many times. But the occasion that I'm popular is when somebody needs a really good toilet cleaner. And then they call me. They say, hey, Jerry, the toilet's overflowing. It's really nasty. Come clean the toilet. So I show up, I clean the toilet. Then they turn around and they want to put me in a corner. And I'm still saying, hey, there's another really bad toilet down the road and around the lane. And then folks usually don't want to listen until it's into a crisis situation. Then they say, go get Jerry. He's a good toilet cleaner. So I've never really been popular in my life except for that occasion, and I don't really care to be a celebrity anyway. not out for notoriety, and quite frankly, if I was allowed, I wouldn't use them today. But how could anybody have any positive credibility of a fellow that's scared to death to set his name out? And over the course of the coming weeks, you're going to be finding that I'm going to be putting out actual documentation, certified mail, return receipts, recorded in the county courthouse, and I'm going to show and make available to you the exact items that I've done to come out of Babylon. And quite frankly, I have not failed in any area. I'll repeat that, in any area. And I use book, chapter, and verse, the most powerful things that are available to us against the Canaanites. That's Babylon. People that are trying to make you and have made most of you a slave. Maybe you're getting tired of that. So that's what I'm here to offer. I'm not here to dump anything down your throat, and I'm not here to force you. At no particular place in the Word of God do I read that I'm supposed to force anybody to do anything. All I'm supposed to do is comply with Ezekiel chapter 33. All right, the next thing I'd like to talk about is intelligence. Some people want to say, well, you know, Jerry, you seem like you're trying to be superior in your tone and the way you talk. Well, intelligence is relative. In the oceans of the world, there are billions and trillions of little bitty animals. They're called plankton. They're born, they grow up, they do all the things they're supposed to do. Sometimes a big whale comes by and swallows a bunch of them, and the whale converts those plankton into protein, muscles, and of course other animals partake of these plankton. They go through their entire life, and they do exactly what the Father's will is. Now, folks, I just never have done exactly what the Father's will is, so I can only compare my intelligence to a plankton. So I'm not trying to be in any type of superior tone or attitude. I'm just trying to tell you that all of us have to open our eyes and ears. Now, I'm going to move right into the offering for today. It's quite simple. It's quite easy. And you'll be able to get the written materials of this tomorrow at freedom-school.com. And this is real simple. How do we remove skin cancers? The Word of God calls this the scab. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. You can look it up. Now, I am going to tell you what I have done with 100% success on all skin cancers that have a root into them, that go down into the skin and even into the muscle tissue. I take equal parts of blood root. It powdered it. Then I take galangal. Some people call it galgingal. It's actually an Indian ginger. Now, that doesn't mean from India. That means grown here in the United States. Then I mix garlic in it. I crush up some garlic, put it in, put a little water on it, put a little dab of this mix just on the top of the skin cancer. Then I cover it with cotton gauze, maybe 3/8 of an inch larger than the blob or my cancer. I then cover it and keep it with an airtight cover. In all occasions, the entire root, as the longest it's ever taken, was 8 days. The entire mess falls out. I then put a little bit of hydrogen peroxide on it and a little olive oil, and usually in 4 or 5 days, the entire hole is healed up, usually within 3 to 4 weeks of just a little bit more of olive oil with frankincense in it now. I can hardly find the scar. Now, there are 2.5 pages that are typed out that explain this to you, and in fairly good detail. I think anybody should be able to read this and understand it. I haven't read 2.5 pages to you. Now I'll move on to the skin cancers that do not have roots. I experienced 2 failures on that, of which one was on the tip of my ear and one was over my right eyebrow. I was unable to get an airtight seal. And it's very important to read these pieces of paper to find out how to get this airtight seal and how to do it. Now, the tip of my ear, I wound up doing it three times, and then it was gone. Over my right eyebrow, I did it a second time, and the second time, which was recently, I shaved my eyebrow. And unfortunately, I got some of the garlic in my eye, and I wasn't really too diligent on that. And I will assure you, the garlic burns, it gets in your eye. So I'll try again. However, all the other skin cancers that were the surface type, non-root type, they all just were real nice. No problem. However, one of the differences is that there is almost zero pain involved with this type process. The process that I've been hearing about for years, and you read about this, of the black salve, is to people that I've talked to use it, they're in constant burning pain. When I use the garlic, there are other options to use, I get a slight tingling on the skin for maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes. Now, if I really load up the garlic, let me tell you, that tingling gets down to where I'll almost call it burning. I don't recommend women to put a loaded up garlic onto their skin cancers because I don't think most women's skin are that tough. And, you know, some people just call me an old piece of leather anyway. But the garlic also seems to offer a little bit of more antibiotic for me. And I like that. Now, there is a process. You do this for 23 hours. You then rinse it with water. You leave it open for an hour. You dab it with some hydrogen peroxide, you know, at the beginning of that hour. Let it dry, air dry for an hour, then recover. Now, when I do use garlic, the roots and all type of skin cancers, they fall out usually within 6 days. And I mean the whole blob just falls out and I'm left kind of like a hole. Well, I've all been all done with those root types for, golly, I think the last one I did was like in 2003. And so I don't have any more of those. And I suggest to you that you need to make sure that you get only natural 100% blood root and galgenol. Nothing processed. Nothing extracted. Don't get anything that's had a chemical process used on it. That is how you get poison in your body. Go to a local herbologist and buy from them. Now, my total cost, my total expenses for doing 8 root-type skin cancers was right about $10 for the material, and then another $7-$8 for the bandages. So I hope that you will consider this. You have a choice. You can go to the witch doctors, and they'll burn you and cannibalize you. Or you can go to one of these people that sell you some kind of extract that's got a chemical poison used on it. And then you're going to wonder why you don't feel so good. You've got the choice. This is a very simple offering today because, golly gee, I took a lot of time talking about an introduction. Now, I also will tell you that your failure to use a 100% cotton gauze is really going to not make you a happy camper. You need to make sure that you get 100% cotton gauze. In my county right now, in 4 different stores, I cannot find any cotton gauze. It's all polyester rayon. And it will eat your skin up, and it will cause welts on your skin. So please read the 2.5 pages. Figure out how to do it. Start small. You remember in the Patriot movie with Mel Gibson? He's telling one of his sons, aim small, miss small. Don't jump out there and try and do 5 or 10 skin cancers. Take the very smallest one that you've got. Work on it first. Learn how to do it. Now, I've never had a skin cancer that was over, just about 5/8 of an inch in diameter. I've never done one that was 3/4 of an inch or an inch in diameter. I've never done that. So I can't give you any offering about that. But I say start small. And I do believe that 100% in my heart, if you will use the natural products that the Lord has given us, that you will be able to solve these skin cancers. I also hope that you'll take a look in this 2.5 pages at the expenses that the doctors tried to offer to me in 2000 when I finally decided, you know, hey, these things are hurting bad and they're bleeding and I need some help. Look at those costs. Look at the costs which I just told you, which are typed up there. It's your money. It's your time. It's your body. You can either do it by where it says in the book of Genesis, I give you every herb, base, seed, bearing plant of the earth. Now, I kind of paraphrase that, but I'm sure that each of you can go into Genesis and you can take a look right there in chapter 1, and you can look right at verse 29. Now, I'm not going to read it all to you because that's your responsibility and duty. Look it up, chapter 1, verse 29, and say, is the Christ wrong there where he's talking about that? Is he wrong? How could he be wrong? And, of course, some of you are going to say, well, it says God. Okay, well, you know, golly, maybe you didn't read the old translations where it said the ever-living. Golly gee, maybe you didn't read the Apocrypha, Second Ezra, where it says, and the Christ. That's what Christ means, the ever-living. It doesn't mean God. God spelled backwards is D-O-G. That's another one of the Canaanite tricks that's put into you. Quickly, I will tell you this. You're going to need some books. First of all, you're going to need an older dictionary, 30, 40 years old. Second, you need a King James, revised, just a standard King James. Then you're going to need a strong, exhaustive concordance. I call it strong stains. Then you're going to need the Book of Enoch from the Ethiopic by Lawrence. The rest of the books are total frauds named Enoch. You're going to need the Book of Jubilees from the Ethiopic. You're going to need the Book of Jasher. You're going to need a few other books, and I'll tell you them as we proceed. You're also going to need a copy of the United States Constitution. You're also going to need your own good common. You're also going to have some desire. Now, we're getting ready to go into the bottom of the hour according to the little click thing, and I'm not a professional with any of this stuff, don't have a lot of experience. So if I wind up having to make up talking for the last minute or two before music starts, that's the way it goes. But there's supposed to be some music that'll let me know when, bingo, they're going to ask. And I hope you'll enjoy the music.
There goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, one holy nation under the heavenly Father with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the Big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use, and then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from firstamendmentradio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate churched friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at firstamendmentradio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near. You might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're now back for the last part or the last half hour of this little deal. And the caller phone number, should anybody want to call in after about two or three more minutes, me talking my, you know, flapping my gums, the call-in number is 559-781-3883. One more time, 559-781-3883. Now, I would like to finish up there that one other thing before a caller actually gets on, if anybody does want to call, is that the level of one's motivation, the type of motivation that one has, determines the level of desire. The level of desire always controls the level of performance or the level of execution. If your motivation is not to follow the master, I again feel sorry for you. If your motivation is to follow the master, and you will diligently learn and attempt to keep all of his laws, every single one of them, down to the jots and tittles, you'll probably be up there flying very well. And I certainly want to get up there, because I am not looking forward and do not want to get into that lake of fire. And I sure hope that all of you that have eyes and ears will open up your eyes and ears and understand that, yes, so my tone is a little bit harsh at times. So my tone is too serious at times. This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know any other way to go about it. This is not happy days are here again. So I hope that you will please take what I am trying to offer to you very seriously. I'm not trying to be your bosom buddy. I'm trying to be, if you will, like a football coach and motivate you into performance. And I know this is difficult. I know it's very difficult. I know how hard it was for me at times. And I know at times some of the things that I learned brought me to my knees. Well, it did worse than that. It took me to my bed, and I cried and I sobbed. And at one time in my life, I would have been very embarrassed to ever say that I cried and I sobbed. But, you know, when I was 42, or if you will, 6 weeks of years, I went to my bed for 3 days and three nights after I had done some extensive studying, and I realized how bad and how hopeless the situation in our society appeared to be. And up until that time, I had been rather successful financially, very successful in courtrooms, very successful in eliminating, if you will, bad politicians in the area where I lived, which at that time was Orlando, Florida. And, you know, but I then, as an adult, picked up the Word of God and started studying. And then I realized that there's got to be a better way. And the way that I am doing it right now, I wouldn't trade it for $10 billion and all the women in the world, or all the gold, or all the anything in the world. I would do exactly what I'm doing. And I put my name out there. I put my address out there. I put my phone number out there. I send certified return receipt, constructive notices, and requirements to perform to all levels of government. And quite frankly, I have not had any problems. None. Zero. Zero. I am an individual that is not a resident. I am an individual that is an inhabitant. There's a big difference. I am not a person. I happen to be one of the people. When we take a look at the Second Amendment to the Constitution, at the top, everybody says, oh, it's the Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, you're being lied to. That document was called the Bill of Restrictions. It was never the Bill of Rights. The word right, R-I-G-H-T, or R-I-G-H-T-S, never appears in the Old Testament except in a directional form.
Greetings,
the only thing
salutation
that the Father in Heaven gives you is responsibilities and duties. A right is something that is given to you by government so they can then restrict you. Look at the Second Amendment, the right of the people to bear arms. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been made into persons. You're not a people anymore. You got that way by Title IV, Sections 100 through 111, of what is known as the Bucked Act in the local vernacular term. And actually what it's called is the Public Salary Tax Act. Now, if you don't know what this is, how in the world are you going to come out of Babylon? Babylon is the entire commercial system. It's not just corporate churches. It's everything to do. It's insurance. It's driver's license. It's marriage licenses. It's having the government provide you with a privilege, a gratuity, or a service. That's exactly what the Buck Act, when you boil it down, it says. And the courts have held.
Now, we have a caller.
The first ruling was the Williams case, U.S. Supreme Court, 1943. And it basically says, if you take our money, you're under our jurisdiction. Wouldn't that be kind of on, you know, wouldn't that, you know, if I'm paying you and you're working for me every day and I'm paying you $100 a day, $200 a day, don't you have to do what I say? Well, that's what the government's doing to you. They made you into a person. They gave you civil rights. Civil rights are only the most nominal amount of items available to you is if you had constitutional rights. Now, I don't claim constitutional rights either, because that's, again, a right. And we're going to get into the Constitution, and we're going to show you where it's a complete and total fraud. Here's one for you to do a little research. Take and look up the Constitution of the United States of America. Go to London, England. This is where you check it. You don't have to physically go, but do your research. And you will find out that 6 months prior to the Constitutional Convention, the corporate charter, known as the Constitution of the United States of America, was registered as a corporation in London, England. applaud from the get-go. You were it was a corporation. And how in the world did them boys registered in London, England, 6 months prior to them having a meeting? Now, just explain that to me. How did we get around to 1871, and now the corporation has changed to United States? Where is it registered again? London, England. Think a little bit. How did they have a bankruptcy? And you hear these people all the time saying, well, the United States went bankrupt in 1933. Well, yeah, it filed for bankruptcy. But the bankruptcy was accepted in 1938. That's when it went bankrupt. The rest of the time, they were negotiating. The bankruptcy court is in Puerto Rico. They meet formally every 4 years. In 1938, when they accepted the bankruptcy, they said, Congress will pass the Buck Act, Title IV, Sections 100 through 111. And that's what made everybody assimilated into 14th Amendment civil rights persons, slaves. Now, I used to be a red, white, and blue Yankee Doodle Dandy. Prior to 1990, I called myself a conservative constitutionalist that unfortunately was in the Republican Party, because I could not stand the abominations. There were so many of them in the Democratic Party in my area of the country. You might read your Bible to see what type of abomination I'm talking about. And when they turn around, they say, well, they're going to pass some hate crimes. You know what my answer is? It's real simple. The Lord saith, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. I hate Canaanites. I look forward to the day that the Lord slays them all and throws them into the lake of fire. I kind of wish that there was some way to change them, but there ain't no way to change their Canaanite genealogy. Government don't like to hear this kind of talk. All kinds of people don't like to hear this kind of talk. But those individuals, Canaanites, they don't have eyes and ears. Why do we think that the Christ tells us to those which have eyes and ears? Why does he tell us that some do not have eyes and ears? Jacob I love, Esau I hate. As he's telling you, there is a genealogical connection. I think we got a caller, but I haven't heard anybody pop on. But if there is a caller, pop on. Well, I heard a jingle, but I'm not too familiar with this operation here, so maybe it wasn't a jingle. So we have to take and look at things from a much more judicious point of view. We have to study what the Word of God says. It tells us to reprove and reprove. The King James has an awful lot of good stuff in it. However, the King James is the easiest Bible to me to use because I see 1, 2, 5, 7, 8 things, and they're all consistent, and then bingo! There's something that's completely out of whack. So the King James allows me to find the lies much easier. Did you know who wrote the King James? The final editor? Has anybody ever brought that up to you? It was the same guy that wrote Shakespeare. Francis Bacon, the most intelligent, and he was no doubt one of the biggest geniuses of his time, if not the biggest genius. And then the top Illuminati Masonic Lodge guy. I don't leave anybody out of the picture. You know, if you are an Illuminati, if you are in the Masonic Lodge, you are either deceived or you actually are doing this on purpose. I hope the deceived people will get away from it. But Francis Bacon was the final editor of the King James. Now, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to visit a little bit about what we're going to get into next week. Next week is just some photocopies right out of books that probably most of y'all have. And you're just going to see in black and white what's been in front of your eyes for years. But nobody wanted to just say, here, look right now. Look, read it. And it's going to be one of the methods of deception. And it's going to make a whole lot of people unhappy. What is one of the other verses that the Lord tells us? My vineyard is destroyed. because of many preachers. And many preachers are out there getting people to follow the Canaanite methods. They don't all know they're doing this, but they're doing it. In black and white, you're going to see it. In black and white, you're going to have to say, golly gee, this guy isn't making this up. It's black and white in these books in front of me. And then you're going to have to make a determination. Why are these other people doing this to you? Well, it's because you have accepted and allowed this to happen to you. I don't blame any individual. I don't blame the Lord. I don't blame Satan. I don't blame anything when something negative happens to me. Now, I may yell and scream and bitch for a while, but when I get right down to it, I say, you know why that happened, Jerry? Because you were very stupid. Because you, Jerry, were not paying attention. And as soon as I can get past the earthly stupidity of wanting to be upset about somebody did me wrong, I then say, you know, it's your fault. You need to do some more homework. You need to get better prepared. And I get that chip off my shoulder real quick in most cases. And I will recall, about 11 years ago, an individual really put the wood to me. And it took me a year and a half of praying not to kill him. You hear what I'm saying? It took me a year and a half to pray not to kill him. And I devised plenty of ways to kill him. And I didn't figure I'd, you know, get caught. But it finally came to me that I needed to allow that individual to live and make an example of him for the rest of his life. So give him a little bit of his own treatment. And, you know, I've been giving him some treatment for about 11 years. And I will continue as long as I have a drop of blood in my veins or I have one breath left in my lungs. And it was my fault. I allowed that individual to get to me. It wasn't his fault. He just happens to be canine. That's what a canine's supposed to do is get to you. That's their job. The Lord provides us a carrot, and he provides a stick. The carrot is to follow his law. The stick is Satan and his minions. Remember the watchers came down, they bred with women? You remember that we had giants on the earth? Well, you know, golly gee, this has been happening a long time, folks. When you've heard in the past, you say, you've heard, we shall not discriminate by race, color, or creed. Now, wait a minute. There's some folks out there that skin sort of white, their skin sort of red, sort of yellow, sort of black. That seems to be color to me. I see all different types of shades. That's color. I've never, ever seen anywhere, and I'd love somebody to point out to me where the Christ says, hey, if a guy's got red skin or he's got yellow skin or he's got purple skin, he ain't getting into the supper. He says, be fruit inspectors. So I'm not into this color business. I think we're not supposed to discriminate by that. We're to discriminate by the fruits. And we should determine the fruits by, are they keeping the Father's law? However, what about that first thing? Race. Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 1. It says in there that in the chapter 1, and a good man was created. Okay, I understand that. Chapter 2, a man of breath was created. He's a good guy too. I understand that. Chapter 3, Eve goes out and has sex with a Canaanite. Of course, they try and tell you it was a serpent made her eat it, you know, some kind of fruit, an apple or something like that. But why don't you go back to the old scriptures? Had relations with a Niger, N-I-G-E-R. That didn't mean the bad N-word. It meant one that was black in nature. His soul was black. And they don't want you to know that. So what happens? Eve comes running home, and Adam understood. And he says, well, you know, this is the only female I got. I better go ahead and, you know, have a little relations with her too. Now, if Adam would have just gone ahead and killed Eve and followed the Father's law, we wouldn't be in this mess. But no, Adam wanted to try and hide this. And that's where we got into problems. And we always get into problems when we try and create a secret, like secret election. I hear another beep. Does that mean somebody's calling in?
Hello?
Apparently there's some beeps I'm hearing, and I'm not understanding why I'm hearing those, but I'm not hearing any callers or anything either. So.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Joey Clark from Columbus, Ohio.
Well, good. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, good. Listen, would you be so... I'm to the party late. Would you just have the patience to go over briefly your treatment for skin cancer? I caught the thing about the garlic and the peroxide and the gauze. But would you be so kind just to go over that briefly again?
Okay, certainly. You'll go to freedom-school.com.
I don't have a computer.
And you can look at the 2.5-page written dissertation, or you can go at, I don't know how many hours or days it takes for First Amendment to get the archives up, but the archives should be up within 24 hours, and you can listen to the whole deal then. Would that be okay? I guess it was. Okay. And I'm sorry that you got in a little late, but, you know, obviously I can't run something back over because, you know, there's only like 4 or 5 minutes, and I think I took like 10 or 12 to verbalize on stuff like that. So anyway, we have got three races on this planet. We got one of good man, we got one of the man of breath, and we got one of the serpent. Why do you think the Christ tells the Pharisees, you are the seed of the devil? Why in another place does, when he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, yes, I know you are the seed of Abraham, but you are not of one of his children? Because in the Old Testament it tells you very clearly, Abraham went out and married a Canaanite. It's there in front of your eyes. That's why he had some seed there. But his children came out of Sarah. And, you know, that was Isaac. That was it. All the rest of them were Canaanites. You can read it. I'm not making this up. You can't get mad at me. Because, you know, I can read it in black and white, and I can present it to anybody else. If you got enough time, we'll open the book, and you go, oh, golly gee, they were Canaanites. And, you know, that's the way it is. Is it pleasant? No, it's not real pleasant. It's kind of like, oh, my gosh, look at this. I got to figure out who's a Canaanite and who happens to be one of the good men and who has one of the men that is breath. Of course, when I say men, I mean men and women, too. And that's what our job is to be fruit inspectors. And then we won't have these Canaanites get us. And they're all getting ready to get gone. It's all, but, of course, coming out of Babylon, the Lord never promised us the rose garden either. There's going to be a lot of work. There's going to be a lot of trouble. And I feel so sorry for so many people that I hear their tone, their attitude is so good. Yet, however, they're red, white, and blue Yankee Doodle Dandies. They're trying to stand up for a figment of their imagination, some constitution, the deities who were our founding fathers. Read about them. They believed in multiple gods. Look at the statues that they've got tucked away in Washington, where George Washington, you know, he's sitting there dressed as a god in marble. And people hallow these individuals. My very first family member got over here 6 months prior to the Revolutionary War, and he fought the entire 4 years. And when it was over, and they had something called the Whiskey Rebellion. That was after they came up with this fraudulent constitution. He fought again. And, you know, he lost everything that he had. And he actually had one boatload of money prior to the Revolutionary War. He was a bigwig, if you will, in England, in Ireland, in Scotland. But, you know, he fought. He was wounded 3 times. Third time he was wounded, he was out for about 4 or 5 months, and that's where he met his wife, who was had 4 years left to go on her bondage. You know, she was a bond slave. He bought her out and married her. And that's how I come about on my mama's side. And I know the history. And it's appalling to me. And I did not learn this till 1990 when I wrote all 13 of the original 13 colonies, and I asked him for all the enabling legislation to allow a constitutional convention. We'll be getting into that down the road. It should be a little enlightening. And I'm going to give you enough information where you may take and do the checking out. And I sure hope you will do the checking out. Because I'm not going to hand you an entire fish. I'll give you a little sliver here and there, maybe to keep you going. But I want to teach you how to learn how to fish. Because when you learn how to fish, then you go out there and you do it on your own, and then you're on solid ground. You're not going to learn it if somebody hands everything in your plate. You got to get out there and work. You got to determine your motivation. You got to determine whose jurisdiction you're under. I'm under the Christ, and he is under the Father in heaven. Now, I wish I could. There was some way I could snap to it and just do the Father's will instantly, but I'm not able to do that. Someday, maybe the Christ will use enough of a steel rod on me to straighten me out where I'm actually always doing the Father's will. But, until that time, I've just got to keep struggling. I've got to keep working. And I hope and I pray that each of you will bow to the jurisdiction of the Father and His only begotten. Thank you.
The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy.